Sahanavavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 7, Adi Lila, Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in His Youth. Page 117, 251 to 253. The student ran away in fear, and the Lord followed him. But some or other, the devotees checked the Lord. The devotees pacified the Lord and brought him home, and the student ran away to an assembly of other students. The Brahmana student ran to a place where 1,000 students were studying together. There he described the incident to them. Srila Prabhupada, in this verse we find the word dvija, indicating that the student was a Brahmana. Actually, in those days, only members of the Brahmana class became students of Vedic literature. Schooling is meant especially for Brahmins. Previously, there was no question of schooling for Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Shudras. Kshatriyas used to learn the technology of warfare, and Vaishyas learned business from their fathers or other businessmen. They were not meant to study the Vedas. At present, however, everyone goes to school, and everyone is given the same type of education, although no one knows what the result will be. The result, however, is most unsatisfactory, as we have seen in the Western countries especially. You know, it means everyone's studying, but the point is studying to get a job, but that not necessarily many people are getting jobs in what they study. That's the difficulty. And to do that job, you don't have to study all that. That's the whole point. It's just like, let's say we're working in computers, right? So somebody's gone through, you know, his 12 years, he's done his computer science and all this and all that, then he goes to one of these big companies. But, you know, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds can do all the same thing on the computer. They just figure it out themselves. Really sense? And anyway, when you go to the company, they'll have to teach you what to do. So that means you could have started already earning money from, you know, much earlier. But instead you spend money, you know, and then supposedly you get money back. You know, it's like you do education and you spend so much, then supposedly in the work you get it back, but when you make money and all that, then you get a mortgage and then you spend your whole life paying that back. So one should look at it, is it actually an educational process or just an economic process? Right. The United States has vast educational institutions where everyone is allowed to receive an education, but the result is that most students become like hippies. Higher education is not meant for everyone. Only selected individuals trained in Brahminical culture should be allowed to pursue a higher education. Educational institutions should not name to teach technology, for a technologist cannot properly be called educated. A technologist is a Shudra. Only one who studies the Vedas may properly be called a learned man, Pandita. Right, so here's what it means. Educated means in the higher aspects of the Vedic literature. Doesn't mean that you can't study whatever you're studying, but one shouldn't call that higher education. You know what I'm saying? If you're learning Shudra knowledge, don't call it higher education. It just means that you're learning more detail in the Shudra area. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone goes and, you know, learns from the Bolshoi Ballet, right? So within the dance, within ballet, then you could say that's a higher it's more technical, it's a higher education. But you wouldn't say the education itself is higher. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of how you're telling. People should be trained where they should be trained. So this general education where everybody's doing the same things and none of it's necessarily practical for their occupation, then that's just a waste of people's time. So it says, you know, you do your basic things of learning to read and write and all that, and then after that you should specialize so that you can at an earlier age be actually expert in something. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So, yeah.
Depends on the value system.
Yeah, because there's the idea everyone should be educated, because then the idea is if you're educated, get a job, you can lead a better life, get more money and all this. But at the same time is, technically, what does this better life mean? Okay, they have some better facilities, but are they trained in actually what being a human being is? Right? So then, how much of a better life is it? Okay, instead of being poorer, they're richer. But generally they're not. They may be some variety of middle class, basically. Those who are educated are generally varieties of middle class. Right? But the ones that might be more aristocratic or this and that, if they have that intelligence, then naturally they would get educated. So it's not going to change their status. If someone's already rich, they go and get educated, they're not going to get richer. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, what knowledge you're going to use to make more money? You know? So it may help in some general idea, but then the problem is that you have this middle class, but because the focus is on getting better facility and enjoying yourself and all that, that middle class tends towards atheism also. Because you see, generally, that means the established rich, they tend to be religious, and the poor tend to be religious. Any kind of atheistic jazz is all in the middle. Does that make sense? So the point is it really doing something for the society? You know, they're saying, oh, no, equal opportunity. Yes, the opportunity can be there if you can do it, but how many kids are actually wanting to learn in school? You know, like you said, Prabhupada said, the result, students become hippies. Like that. Now it may be something else. They become goths or, you know, whatever it is. But the point is they... how many are... It's a classic cliche that, like in high school, no one's interested in learning. You have a small group who does, but those are the ones that therefore should be being educated. That group are the ones that should be doing that. The other ones, they would be much happier doing something practical. You know. But the point is that in the proper system, anybody could study anywhere where they have qualification. Right? In guna and karma. Right? But nowadays it's indiscriminate. And then they make like everybody's got to get this education. So that's the problem. Without training and all that, then there's not the proper understanding of who should get what education. And so, therefore, you don't have those opportunities. Either everyone has to go, you know, or if you don't have it by rule that they have to go, then no one will go. You know? So it's a difficulty. That the Vedic system is you have that those who have this nature, they're to study the Vedic literatures. Right? Smart ones should be studying Vedic literatures. And others that should study in within their particular area. Does that make sense? Yeah. You had something?
So, in terms of Vaishnava education, Srila Prabhupada specifically mentions that ISKCON as its aim is to educate people in general.
Yes.
In Vaishnava culture and,
yes,
and tradition.
Yes.
So, is it also general and specific, or how does it go?
Well, you'll see is that means everybody should be educated in the practice, understanding and practice of Krishna consciousness. So then, how do you say? And so there should be regular opportunity for that. Just like we have morning and evening programs, there's discussions, there's kirtans, there's prasad. You know, so this should be going on in the temples, in people's homes, and, you know, whatever venues that this is happening. then Prabhupada gave from, you know, from the acharyas, then we have the these courses, these four courses. So in general, what I can see is everybody should go through the you know, the Bhakti Shastri level. Like that. That's kind of like everybody should know the basic philosophy in that. Because Prabhupada's idea was as with Bhakti Shastri, then you can get second initiation. Right? And so that kind of aspect, that, you know, general devotee as Vaishnav should get. But if not, then just by hearing the regular programs and hearing the philosophy, then people should pick up stuff. But it's a matter of the it's about association. So it's not just a formal class. It's about, you know, trying to benefit and cultivate those people that are coming. Then within that, higher than that, that's considered your advanced studies. But even Bhakti Shastri is advanced study. It's just that you can go farther and farther. And so that would be more for, you know, who's doing what. Does that make sense? I think there's one place where Prabhupada mentioned about the Bhakti Vaibhav level, that's like the preachers and that, those who are gurus, and like the GBC would be Bhakti Vedanta. You know, and then those who have the capacity, they go on to the Bhakti Sarvabhauma. So you'll have like that. But otherwise, then people would learn their own. The point is that Prabhupada's thing is that sitting in a classroom and just learning theory without practical, that's not so, that doesn't give necessarily very good results. Because if you're teaching somebody in something practical, they need to practically apply it. You know, it's just like, let's say, medical school. No one just does theory. They have to actually apply it. Yes. And they have to put in so many years in internship and this and that before they're made a doctor. So it's practical. That's how all education should be. You know, to be a lawyer, it's also the same. You're already, you know, doing things. You're already apprenticing. You're already in courtrooms. You're already dealing with, you know, even when you're in undergraduates, actual judges are coming in, sitting. You know, they set up a little court for the students. Then they have an actual judge there, and then they have to argue cases, and the judge deals with it, you know, accordingly. And so they get practical like this. Does that make sense? You know, or if you go to a mechanical school, you actually have a motor sitting there that you take apart and put together. But this kind of modern education where everybody just goes and sits in a classroom and you never do anything really practical, you know, then that, how is anybody benefited? So you just spent, you know, how you say, at least 12, if not 20 years of your life, and then you got to go out and get a job. Well, you could have already had a job, you know, 8 years before that, you know, and been making that same money. You know what I'm saying? So at that point, now you have student debts. But the point before, what debt you'll have? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take anything fancy to learn to read and write and all those things. You know, anybody can teach that, so you can easily set up kind of some stuff. And then after that, they can do practical work. Because the point is anything that someone who's, you know, 20, 21 can do, in a practical way, a 12-year-old can do it. Literally. You know, and there's a good chance the 12-year-old will be more enthusiastic. So he's going to learn good. He can start from the bottom. He doesn't mind sweeping the floor, doing all that. While the 21-year-old is, I have a degree. I should just walk straight into that corner office. Like that. So it's a problem. You know, like Prabhupada mentioned that That family in Orissa, the father would make the conch shell bangles. And like that, he's been doing his father was doing this, like this, like that, and they maintain the fault, life goes on. So he thought, well, the son should get educated. You know, he can do better. So he goes out, he gets himself a university degree, he can't get a job, comes back to his home, but now he's too proud to make bangles. So he can't make bangles, which is actually right there for him to do, and he can't get a job. So this is a difficulty. We can say, oh, it's an exaggeration. On one level, yes, maybe. But on another level, you know, what's the percentage of unemployment these days? You know, what's it running over that size? No? You know, it's always between 20% and 40%. So, you know, that's not a great. They don't tell you that. So, you know, do you really want to go to university and get this degree? Because 40% of you possibly won't get a job, right? Plus, you're going to spend so many tens of thousands, you know, like that. You could have saved that, and you know, they don't tell you that. So that's the difficulty. It's not a well thought out system. Right? The concept that people should be educated, great, but it means they're educated in according to their particular nature. So this modern idea, no, it should all be the same. No, equal opportunity means according to your nature. Otherwise, then equal opportunity according to what the modern thing is the dog eats 5 chapatis, the elephant gets 5 chapatis. Or the elephant eats 200 chapatis and the dog better eat 200 chapatis. You know, but the point is it doesn't work like that. It's equal opportunity means, yes, anybody could do any work if they have the qualification. But the point is you get educated according to your qualification. So when you see it in the context of God consciousness, then you can properly assess it. Otherwise, if you have all these material considerations and social status and all that, then there's always going to be a problem. You know, because no one wants to be the Shudra. You know, even though if you walk on the street in any big city, basically all you're looking at is Shudras, literally. Right? The professors are in the university, like that. And if you see a limo go by, then you might be looking at a Kshatriya or Vaishya.
But you can't see him because the windows
are tinted. But you can't see him because the windows are tinted. Yes, exactly. So all you see is Shudras. And then we're all about, no one wants to be the Shudra. It's kind of like most everybody is a Shudra. And, you know. And for us, you know, Manusha Bandhus, then, you know, Shudra's pretty good. Yes.
I always thought it's funny that everyone says they don't want to be the Shudra, but then if you ask them if they want a career where there's no salary, then they definitely say, no.
Yeah.
I want something in return for my work. I want guaranteed. So, well, then you're...
That's the thing. It's also, you know, okay, that you want something for your work, okay, that's understandable. But the key word was what you said,
guaranteed.
That's the whole point. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, their work, it's not guaranteed. Shudras, it has to be guaranteed. I do this work, I get this much per, you know, week or month or whatever. People go by week or month.
America's week, but everybody else is usually month.
Month, okay. And the funny part is then, what I remember, is you're paid by the week, you know, but rent is by the month. Well, I noticed in other places, you're paid by the month, but rent's by the week.
Somewhere it's month and month.
Yeah. Month and month, that's better.
Then it matches.
Yeah, then it matches.
Yeah. I had rent where I had to pay by the week. It's terrible. Because you pay an extra 2 months by the end of the year.
Yeah. Huh. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well, is that why they do it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't catch that. Yeah, because 12 times 4 is 24. Mm. Right?
But do they do the same with the salary?
No, 48. Yeah, 12 times 4 is 48.
What about the salary?
So it's one month.
But if you pay by week, you pay 52.
So it's 4.
So you pay 1 month more.
1 month more.
I didn't realize that.
What
That's
about
like
the salary? They do the same?
Salary, generally in USA, it's an annual salary, but you get paid weekly.
Oh, you mean you'll get this much a year,
yeah,
and they'll give you,
yeah,
it, break it down what you get per week.
Oh, that's why they can't.
Yeah, every place has its own uniqueness, right? Yeah. So, yes?
Well, it's another point, devotees are not clear, is where do we learn the culture? Because culture is very important. So Vaishnav culture, how do we learn that?
First go out, buy some yogurt. Right?
It's too cold.
Too cold. What about some kombucha? the It's the same as by the association. It means Prabhupada's constantly talking about, like what we're talking now, this is culture. Culture, this is organization, this is, you know, how you set things up. So these things should be done here. Just like, let's say we go back some years, like let's say 70s, 80s, you know, even into the 90s, that people would give a class. It doesn't matter what's going on in the verse. They'll just talk about Sankirtan. You know, how you have to do book distribution, that's it. So they won't even talk about the culture that's there. So it's fine to talk about the preaching, but you're preaching what? Means you've taken up Krishna consciousness, you've learned to practice it. That's what the Vishwambar aspect is. Right? The Sankirtan means we're doing, the others involving and things like that. Then the next is individually, personally, people are being cultivated. You know, their own practices. And then from that, you'll get a taste. So therefore, Jiva Doya, Vaishnav Seva, Nama Ruchi. But in the Sankirtan, they'll only see the first one. The other two don't matter. You know, because it's like the only purpose is to just, either distribute books or make devotees. What about training them? Their training is making more devotees. And what about getting a taste? Oh, that's the Hajjia. So there's a problem there. Is that due to lack of understanding of how it goes that the culture is not seen? Because the culture is learned by association. You can discuss it here, but it's learned by association. You know, if people are together in that and they want to know, then you can teach them. But otherwise, then you can also have specific courses on specific things. You know, like that, and in this way train. You know, like in the community, they're talking about community development, then unless they're teaching the philosophy and culture, then how will they function? Because the community has to use much more of the culture. You know, the wider range of it, much more of the indirect aspects of it. So that means they have to know what is the sattvic aspects of it, but they also have to know the philosophy, how to make that work. So there actually is it's, you could say, you have to put in more effort to train a community. But it's generally thought that communities just are somehow another self, you know, how you say, sustaining. They just go on. You know? How you say, you know, life goes on or whatever it is. What they forget is the guy froze to death. Yes. Guidance.
No,
guarantee. Yes. Well, that's why women, even though they may have a brahminical nature, you know, in other words, that's their area of guna and karma, but you also have that underlying aspect of gain and safety, like shudras, that women are very much, mindful of. So that's that. For that reason, they're classified with shudras. But it doesn't mean that all women are shudras. No, women are of the same natures as the men are of the same form. You know.
So it's because of weakness.
It's because of that. There's more of a tendency towards the experiential aspect of material existence. Men like to get things done and accomplish it, whether the experience is good or not. That they accomplished it. That's their like how you say. You could say return. They did this, it worked out nice. But for the women, it's more as what's the experience of it. So naturally you have the thing of better quality ingredients and situations generally, you know, can generate better quality experiences, but it's not necessarily so. So it's wherever there's a good experience, that's good. And wherever there's a bad one, that's bad. Does that make sense? So then one's always trying to create a very, you know, stable and comfortable environment in which there's minimal disturbances so that the, you know, the family life, the Krishna consciousness and all those go on very nicely. You know, it's just the way it is. So if the in the tradition, the men would put out an effort to arrange this. And if they do, then that's nice. It makes it easier. If they don't, the women will do it themselves at some point. You know, and so then, you know. Yes, the same thing. So just say we're saying you have that aspect, But let's say we're talking about attachment or something, okay? And we have a some shudras, okay? And you have the men and women. Okay, so they're both going to be quite attached, and that gain and safety aspect will be very important for them, that stability. You know, but at the same time, as you'll find, the man will be a little bit more able to, most of the time, deal with things than the woman. You know what I'm saying? In a sustained way. The women can be stronger than the men at some point. The man is freaking out. The woman can straighten the man out. But having straightened him out, now she'll freak out. You know what I'm saying? And so then now he has to, you know, now that he's back together, now he can help the wife. Does that make sense? So that kind of thing is there. But you might find that the attachment of that Shudra man, if you have a Brahmin woman, she'll be situated on a higher level of understanding and consciousness than that, generally speaking, of that Shudra man. So when we say that the women, they need more of this kind of attention, that means in their own group. Does that make sense? So the Brahmin woman needs that guidance of the Brahmin man, the Kshatriya, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Vaishya, Shudra, Shudra. But it doesn't mean that a Brahmin woman's not smarter than a Shudra man. But because of that need of gain and safety, that's then why they're classified in that, you know, general area of Shudras. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's you're studying all these various aspects by the individual elements, but in use they're put together. Does that make sense? So the generic is there to simply understand the concept, but in the application you'll see it'll take on the specifics of what you're actually dealing with. You know what I'm saying?
For women, it's normal
to work for salary. To?
To work for gain and salary.
Gain and safety? Yes.
I mean salary.
Salary and gain are the same thing. You understand? Safety means then it's going to be safe. You got your salary. Nobody takes it from you. You know, it's there. You have a place, a home, and things are stable. In other words, the environment that women are in is very stable. And then in that stable environment, they can be unstable and it still works. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you have a corral. Corral? You know that big fenced off area that they keep horses in?
Stable?
Yeah, no.
Stable is kind of where they stay. You know, the stalls that they stay in. Then outside the front of that, there's a huge area that's fenced off. You understand? So you have that big area, and the horse will run around in there however it likes, but it's within that area. So that's the whole thing, is you're creating an environment which the feminine mentality then can run all over the place. You understand? But it's contained within that. So therefore, that aspect of safety is there. And you're developing it, so the gain is there. You know, as you need to expand it, it's expanding. Improving the quality as one gets more sophisticated. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so when you start, you know, you have a toaster with two slices of bread. But then, you know, as the kids are there, then you have the four slices. You know, and then as the family's bigger, you have one of those eight slice ones like that.
In America, I guess.
Of course, because everyone wants now. Yeah. So it's just the environment is there. So that's the thing. The master can go out in areas where it's not stable and steady and stuff like that, and it'll work for them. Like that. Though, even though we say that within the men, still, with the Shudra mentality, it still has to be somewhat more stable. Does that make sense? Because like the businessman, he can be making profit or not, but the shudra gets paid his regular fee. You know, I was asking one devotee who's business, you know, has business. And he says, it's like a dog's dinner. You know, dog? You know, sometimes the scraps on the table, you get more, sometimes less. You can't say what it's going to be. But the Shudras, you have to pay him the same every week. They would freak out as if he made more, you know, you paid by how much profit you made that week, he paid more, so then the next week's a little less, they get less than that, and then somebody's, you know, a big thinker, so they get a lot, and they couldn't handle that. They wanted every day the same. You understand? So even within that, the men will still require that, but their women will require also. You understand? So it's just a matter of balancing it, but you have to understand what you're dealing with. Then you can apply it. So that culture, as Prabhupada was pointing out, is by association. That's how you're going to do. But either it's in association that you can regularly tell if that's the mental, or you run courses on it and stuff like that. But still, even you run courses, then where's the practical? How does it seem? Who's overseeing that it's being done right? You know? So that's why then you have that. Prabhupada mentioned you have, you know, in the community, you have one devotee at their house, then they invite 10 people to their program. And they do that irregular. When those people are trained, then they have a program for 10 people. Right? And so like this, you can have tens of thousands of people. And all you're ever doing is the first one's only running one program a week. And then his people are going to his program and running their own program. You know, or do one week, one, then the other, whatever it is, however it works for people. And so then, by doing that, then in that way, you could have the whole city being at programs. Does that make sense? So it's a good system. That way, that, and then it's only 10 people, you can easily, you know, get into it personally, see the things and how it goes. It's just a matter of training. You know it, you teach it. You know, does that make sense? You know how to wash clothes, you show people how to do. You know how to wash dishes, you show them that. You know how to vacuum, you show them that. You know, what's the mentality, why you're doing, or the importance of it. So it's all by association. Does that make sense? Yes.
Brahminical.
It's just a matter of figuring out what works for them. Because the point is if their mundane guna and karma, that knowledge is gained at a university, then that's where they'll gain it. But if it's not, then they'll gain it wherever that's gained. You know what I'm saying? Going to the university means they have to have that nature that they're going to go there and they're going to be able to use it, do something with it. Does that make sense? So it's very much, it depends on the kid. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
When you speak about education, especially higher education, it's only for, we can say, person who want to become devotee.
Basically. But the Brahmins before would be taught on these things, but the point is for us, there's no point in teaching Brahmins unless they're being Vaishnavs. Because otherwise, then Brahmins can create a lot of problem if they're, you know, Kshatriyas, they can create problems if they're not devotees. Otherwise, what's the control? Especially in this age. In other ages, yes, they'd follow their duties and things would go nice, but in this age, you don't hear about caste Brahmins in other ages. You know, you'll have some like that, you know, like Dattatreya and some others like this, like that. You get where they're impersonalists and stuff like that. But generally, they'll be following very nicely and following the rules very nicely. And, you know, the culture will go on very, very well. The culture is common. But it's in this age, then, you know, you're putting in the effort, but unless they're devotees, then what's the point? You know, because that's the purpose of the Vedas. And so since we've been given Srimad Bhagavatam, then that should be used. So, yeah, so higher education means it's about higher topics, not more, develop more detail. Yeah, because means if we're looking at it by the ascending process, I have some fundamentals. Then I learn some, you know, basic applications of those. Then I learn some more technical applications. like that, then I learn all the, you know, exceptional applications. And like that, I can learn more and more technical points. And so the more technical it becomes, it's called advanced. But in the descending process, then the highest aspect is Krishna himself. And how he's the source of that branch of knowledge, and how that knowledge connects to him, how it's engaged in his service. And so in engaging it, then there'll be, you know, the elements of it and how they are engaged. And then from the elements, then you have details, right? So you'll have the main ways of using, then you'll have the other technical. And so, in other words, more and more detail, it's going down. So that's why Prabhupada's always objecting that they're calling it higher knowledge, because it's not. Higher is Krishna's end. How it connects to Krishna, how it's used for Krishna, how you see yourself in context of service to Krishna. That's higher knowledge. The other may be more technical detail, but at the same time is how much technical detail do you use? Just like here, anyone who's had a job, okay, or anything like that. How important has it been for learning that, okay, in South America, you know, how many countries you have, what's the capital cities of those countries, what is the main national product of those countries, you know, how much of it's, you know, mountains, how much of it is plains, how much of it is jungle, like this, and, you know, what things they produce and all that. How many of you have ever used that, one, in your occupation, and two, ever in a conversation that you've had in your just personal life?
Never, still waiting.
Yeah. In other words, but you spend years and years and years doing this. So that's the whole problem. Why do that? You know what I'm saying? They make up education. That's the whole point. Because it means how much you use in reading, writing, and math in practical life. You learn basically up to sixth grade, that's how much math. And eighth grade is how much English. That's in English. Other languages, actually, they learn quicker, so probably by sixth grade is how much you would generally use. Because sixth grade means you're 12. All books are written in 12-plus language. So that's all the main uses. Specialty areas, you may use more detail, but that would be the specialized education. Like an editor or, you know, a journalist, they may use more, but how many people like that are there? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is you only need that 6 or 8 years for what you'll actually use in your life. So the rest of it, they're just making up and somehow another saying it's important. But it's actually not. You know? And we're saying not means practically people, what they use in their life. They don't use that stuff. Even in your own country. Does it really matter that in this district over here, then they make, you know, they have potatoes? It's like, who cares? Right? You know, like Idaho, it's potatoes. So I was actually really shocked once when I met a devotee who was from Idaho. It was kind of like, wow, there's people in Idaho? You know, I thought it was only potatoes. You know? Okay, oh, so you're a potato farmer? No. It's like, what?
You know,
he sells the potatoes, yeah. Like that. So that's that's what's there, you know. So you know, some essential things. Idaho is potatoes, you know, how you say Colombia is cocaine. You know,
coffee.
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 Coffee, okay.
India is tea.
Huh? India is tea. India is tea. How you say Brazil is carnival. And you know, Paris is, you know, how you say croissant and what is it?
Baguette.
You know, like that, and the Eiffel Tower. And you know, London's, you know, Big Ben. And yeah.
Romania's Dracula.
Yes, Romania's Dracula. Yes. Important things there, yes. Very good, you know. You know, Jesus was from, you know, how you say? So somewhere over there in Israel. You know. Like that, yeah. Rome wasn't built in a day. Like that. Yeah.
Now, it seems that It's only since a few, maybe 200-300 years that we put in importance of doing long studies.
Yeah, it's from the age of enlightenment. Because that's the idea, is it comes out more. But which is nice if they're understanding what is education.
Yes, yes.
Because the education, the general education that's given, people don't use it that much. Well, if it was very specific, like in England, up to not so long ago, they had the system that everybody learned the same thing up to 11. You know, through 10, they learned the same thing. Everybody went to the same school because everybody would use the language and math and all that, same kind of concept. Then at 11, you had tests, and they saw where you excelled. And only those kids that were really good in grammar and those things went on to grammar school, which they would do for a few more years. And everybody else went to a trade school that matched their nature. Like that. You know, so that's the thing, is they had that, but then that seems, oh, you're not giving them all enough. But the point is he's not doing good in that. That's not the area he likes. So that's the difficulty, is this kind of mentality. They think, no, this is what I do. I'm this middle-of-the-road kind of know-everything but know-nothing, and everybody should be like that because we're so wonderful. So that's the difficulty. You know, so this comes up. But before it was more, you learned something in your area. And then you were good at it. Because that means if you start carpentry when you're 5, then by the time you're 18, 20, you're a master carpenter. You can run your own shop and all that. So that means you can maintain yourself and your family, everything like this. But now, you know, you'll be so much older and this and that, and then have to start from the beginning. Because when you're young, you go through all this stuff. It's easy. But what to do? Yes.
One of my friends, he took off again because his parents wanted to become a doctor, and they forced him to study medicine. But he wanted to be a fashion designer. And he was very talented in this field.
In what?
Fashion design.
Oh, fashion design.
Yeah, and he made very nice clothes for the year because he was talented in this field. And then he was very unhappy because he needed to study.
Yeah, because medicine makes more money. So that means that technically anybody who's worried about money, you go into law or medicine. Like, you know, you're guaranteed. It works good. You know, if you have two sons, one becomes a doctor, one becomes a lawyer. Right? So if one gets sick, the other one takes care, and if the other one does anything that's malpractice suits, the other one takes care of that. So, you know, it works out. Yeah. So like that, these things happen. So then he should just do it that means, in other words, his occupation is medicine, and then wherever he has the opportunity, he can do design. He can make outfits for the deities and stuff like that.
I advised him to become a plastic surgeon.
That would also work, yeah, because that is fashion, yeah.
Design people.
Design, yeah.
You should be careful with this stitch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, because the other one defines stitching. Yeah, that's a very good solution. Merge the two. Yes. That's how you see nature, right? Okay. Yeah, educational institutions should not aim to teach technology, for technologists cannot properly be called it educated. A technologist is a Shudra, right? It's a practical point. So when they're saying here educated, what the definition means is you know Shastras, you know how they apply. It's not saying that people aren't educated in their areas of skills and knowledge, but you don't call that higher education, or you don't call that education as such. It's training. You know, so you're trained in your field, and it may have a lot of technical points. It may have a lot of practical points. It's whatever it is, you learn that to the full capacity. Because even you have guna and karma, you have also the level you are at. Does that make sense? Just like give the example of I don't know if you see You have a little bit more in South like that, where you have musicians, and there's a group of musicians, and they're playing their instruments or singing or whatever they're doing, and they're quite technically developed. But there's one guy there playing what's called the surpeti. It's like a harmonium that plays one note. You know, it doesn't have keys. It just, you open the note that you need, because if they're singing in this key, you open that note and you just play. Right? Of course, it takes a little skill to make it so it's even and the sound is good and all that. But the point is the guy's a musician, because he can sit there for a 1-2 hour musical performance and just play that straight, and he's happy. Right? But the point is that's the limit of his ability. Does that make sense? So the point is he is a musician, and it's an important job, but that's just what he can play. You know, just like in the Indonesia, you have the gamelan. You ever heard of that? And you have like 300 people with these brass pots. It'd be like, you know, you'd have a xylophone that's like from here to, you know, way down there. You know, and you have all these 300 people playing it. And it's really wild. It's called gamelan. And they're playing all these things that are really technical, really fast, and everything like this. But the most important guy in the whole thing is the one guy who just keeps the beat. He doesn't play anything else than one thing, but he's got he's like a human metronome. He just has his one that he plays, and he's just bong, bong, bong. Because without him, none of the other guys can function. But that's what he does. So it's that everybody has their ability, you know? You know, just like, let's say, a nurse. They're in medicine, but they're not doctors. They're shudras. You know, or an anesthesiast. They're shudras, but they're in the medical field. Does that make sense? So everybody is connected in that. So the guna and karma, it has to be there, but you also see, you know, what degree that's applied. Then you see. Does that make sense? So that was meanings. The higher education means it's the shastra and how the shastra works, how you apply it in your life, how to understand it, how that brings you to God consciousness. That's higher education. Everyone's educated, but you don't call that, how you say, you know, that he's an educated man. No, he knows his area. He's been educated. He's not a learned man, you know? It's just like, let's say you have somebody who's the best person on the planet for computer programming. You won't call him learned. You know? He's very skilled. He knows his area. So that's what we're meaning here. Like that. You won't call him that. Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that in the scriptures, that's what you'd call education. That's higher education. Everyone else will be trained according to their ability in their own area. So that means it is very individual, and it has that equality. Anybody could go into any field if they have the nature. It's not enough that I want. Everybody wants to be a billionaire. But, you know, how is that working out? Right? You know, so it's... Yes?
Maharaj, we know for Brahmanas, it's study and then teach others.
Yes.
However, we see practically some can study, but they can't teach. And some can study and also teach. What would be the difference?
What about those who can teach but not study?
Oh, those are not Brahmins.
Oh, okay. But then, what do you call it? How you say? Yeah, so you're quoting from Advaitacharya to Haridas Thakur.
Yes.
That concept. It's just going to be, you have your that scholarly class that can, you know, they study and stuff like that. They can't teach. The difficulty is that's more, it's more of a phenomenon in the modern knowledge. In the Vedic, it would be less. Because in the modern, yeah, there we go. In the modern, somehow or another, how it is, you have to do all this preparation and everything. Well, in the Vedic, you don't, because the same knowledge you learn is what you're giving. So it's not like it's something different. And it also has the aspect of, how you say, you know, you're learning this, you're practically applying it. So the real value is what the teacher's adding to it so that we can apply it. The Abhideya aspect is the point. Does that make sense? Because the knowledge, the Sambandha Gyan, that's there, it's written down. But to be able to understand it in the context, the mood of it, how to apply that, that's actually the most important. So in the Vedic, anybody who studied, then it should work, because they would also have their sadhana and everything else. So you find somebody just goes into a room, studies, doesn't do anything else, doesn't eat, doesn't take a bath, doesn't do anything like that, then it would be your kind of modern concept of Brahminical. But in the Vedic, they would be still getting up, taking, you know, you see Lord Chaitanya now, they're all down at the ghats at noon taking their bath, and then in the evening, and then they do all the different things. And so they're much more connected with society. You don't get so much that, like we were discussing this morning, that whole totally introverted thing and that extroverted thing. And in India, generally, it's the Vedic thing, generally it's much more balanced. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But if you see someone that's from that scholarly background before joining, then they apply that in Krishna consciousness, then they're connecting it to Krishna, they may have some problems. Does that make sense? You know, or you have to find, well, what are the students they can teach, and they should just teach that group. Does that make sense?
You catch that, the last point?
The last one is that they may not be able to teach a general audience, or that teach very specific kind of students. So then, if those students exist, you can try to, they can, you know, like that. They can only teach like armadillos or something like that. You know, like that. They tried the aardvarks, it just didn't work. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. But in the Vedic, you generally don't see that. Well, that's why you see is that running a gurukul, then they recommend only 12 students. If it's one person in his house, he should just stick to 12 students. But it's not, that's the recommendation. It's not that it just has to be that much, because you see then Vishishta and Vishwamitra, and I can't remember who's the third one, Durvasa, they have 10,000.
Yeah.
It's just that they have that background. But you see that in all of them, they all know administration governmental, like the emperor level.
Yeah.
So then for them to manage 10,000 students is not a big deal. But most Brahmins don't have a great managerial ability, so therefore they stick to a small group. So you'll also find that, you know, so maybe they can't do a big thing, but they can do a small, and it's always the same people, so it gets regular, they get, you know, like that. Okay. Yes.
Is that 90% of information students must be able to take from different sources, and only 10% teacher must give to the student. And it means that
this is Bologna, you said.
Yes, and it's the most popular system of education in whole world now.
Yes, because then if the teacher only has to put in 10%, how much does he have to do? And even if he doesn't do a great job of that, you can still get on their case about their 90%. So it just makes it easy. So you know, being a teacher like that, how hard is it?
In our country, joining to this conference, we was shocked, because if it's okay for social discipline, but it's very terrible for those who studied in medical university, for example. If they will take information from internet, and they try to...
Yeah, yeah, like that. Especially if they got into they got really interested in like headhunters or something like that. So you know, because they're into, they stitch and you know do stuff, and they work with the brain. You know, they work with all that. But it might not come out quite as good as you like. Yeah, no, it's a crazy system. But at the same time, they're doing that in other fields, too. It's like in economics, in the banks. I'm not sure what it's down to now, but something like maximum 10% of the money that they have in their accounts they have to have in the bank. It might even be down to 5-6%, or even lower. Anyone knows? No? It's something ridiculously small. So they can have all the money out and invested and only have this very small amount there. And that's why they try to put everything online, so that you don't have this. Your money is already out there. You know, so they don't have to keep anything. They just manage, you know, whatever is, you know, in the ether there. So it's the same kind of concept. So that it's a problem. It's just how to have the maximum benefit, maximum prestige, maximum authority with minimal responsibility. That's all. And just as a context, Bologna is how you say it in Italian. That's the place. In America, you say baloney. And when you say something's baloney, means it's bogus. It's useless. You know, there's no substance. So.
Full of baloney.
Yeah, it's full of baloney. It's you know, oh, what about this? Oh, that's baloney. You know, so it's just a write-off. So we'll let you connect the dots. So. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because it's just all numbers and this and that. You have to have this many hours and this much stuff. So they put it all, it's all on the student. How much is on the teacher? Okay. A technologist is a Shudra. Only one who studies the Vedas may properly be called a learned man, pundit. Right? Because he's a pundit. You have terms for that. You wouldn't call someone else a pundit. The duty of a Brahmin is to become learned in the Vedic literature and teach the Vedic knowledge to other Brahmins. In our Krishna conscious movement, we are simply teaching our students to become fit Brahmins and Vaishnavas. In our school at Dallas, the students are learning English and Sanskrit. And through these two languages, they are studying all our books, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is, and the Nectar of Devotion. It is a mistake to educate every student as a technologist. There must be a group of students who become Brahmins. Without Brahmins who study the Vedic literature, human society will be entirely chaotic. So we can see here is he's a mistake to teach every student as a technologist. So he's not saying you can't educate them as technologists, those who have that nature, but there should be a group who learn the Vedic literatures and teach that to everybody. So that's missing in the modern. So it's not. So it will be taken. Much of the time that we're saying there shouldn't be any education. No, we're saying is where is the Vedic education? Where is this higher education in spiritual? Because that's what humans are for. Because people that in technology, you learn that to get a job, to make money, to maintain eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So what is there for them as humans until go beyond that? That's the Vedic knowledge. That's what the Brahmins are supposed to know. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada's not saying they're not educated. The Vedic system, everybody's educated. Like that. But the point is that you have to have the Brahminical class who's then learning the Vedic knowledge. Because that's what they teach. Right? So for Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, it's part of their education. But it's not the main, they use that personally in their life, but in their occupation they use something else. So the Brahmins then, That Vedic education is what they use in their life and what is their occupation. But for the other words, it's personally used, but it's not their occupation. And Shudras, now if they can assimilate some of that and use that, then great. So as Vaishnavas, yes. Right? But to do Shudra, you don't really need any of that. And even if you do learn that, they want to do their own thing anyway. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, moon-like face. What shape is a moon?
Round.
Okay. But you see in the new kind of ISKCON paintings and all that, they're using this kind of like, you know, it comes from Russia, but they use this more like tear-shaped face. You know, it's like super popular in Korea right now. You know? And that super white, super like that kind of thing. But the point is it says that the faces are more full, more round. So that's the whole thing, is that the artists, they have to do their own thing. That's why it's always a problem. Does that make sense? So without guidance, then they won't know how to put this together.
No.
Without Brahmins, because Brahmins can make Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas can establish the environment in which the Vaishyas and Shudras then can prosper. Like that. So the point is, it starts with Brahmins. Because only Brahmins can make Brahmins, and Brahmins can make Kshatriyas. Because nowadays you talk about, they're only talking about managers. They're not talking about administrators. Like that. Does that make sense? 117, 254 to 257. Hearing of the incident, all the students became greatly angry and joined together in criticizing the Lord. Right? Because they're students, they're young, they think that they're so smart. So they've learned something. Then whatever they learn, then they're criticizing the teacher here. Instead of understanding that maybe there's something more, just what they know is definitely they've learned something, but there may be more aspects that they don't know. So then here is that the student doesn't understand he's wrong. Like that. Quote, Nimai Pandit alone has spoiled the entire country, the whole country, right? Because he got chastised. It's the whole country spoiled. You know, this is the... They accused. He wants to strike a caste brahmana, right? And he's a brahmana himself. It's kind of like, you know, then don't say stupid things to another caste brahmana, right? He has no fear of religious principles, and they have no fear. They've gone and criticized their teacher, and that Manu ever mentions that's allowed, you know, like that, yeah. If he again performs such an atrocious act, certainly we shall retaliate and strike him in return. What kind of important person is he that he can check us in this way? When all the students thus resolved, criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their intelligence was spoiled. Thus, although they were learned scholars, because of this offense, the essence of knowledge was not manifest in them. So they wouldn't know actually the essence and how to use it, how it's connected to the Lord and all that. So they'll just understand the mundane thing and how to maintain their eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's all. They may do it in a little bit more sattvic way, but you have sattvic animals. You know, deer are very pleasant. You know, so. Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, because before it was, he learned Bhagavad Gita as it is. You know, so. Okay. Mayaya apritigyana asuram bhavam asrita. When one becomes inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, adopting an atheistic attitude, asura bhavam, even if one is a learned scholar, the essence of knowledge does not become manifest in him. In other words, the essence of this knowledge is stolen by the illusory energy of the Lord. In this connection, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes a mantra from the Svetasvatara Upanishad 6:23. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gurau tasya ite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. The purport of this verse is that one who is unflinchingly devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and similarly devoted to the spiritual master with no ulterior motive becomes a master of all knowledge. In the heart of such a devotee, the real essence of the Vedic knowledge becomes manifested. This essence is nothing but surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaischa sarver aham eva vedyaha. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Only unto one who fully surrenders to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord does the essence of Vedic knowledge become manifest, not to anyone else. This same principle is emphasized by Sri Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:24. A person who directly applies these nine principles, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., in the service of the Lord is to be understood as a greatly learned man who has assimilated the Vedic literatures very well. For the goal of studying the Vedic literature is to understand the supremacy of Lord Sri Krishna. End quote. Sridhar Swami confirms in his commentary that first one must surrender to the spiritual master, then the process of devotional service will develop. It is not a fact that only one who diligently pursues an academic career can become a devotee. Right? So it's surrender to the spiritual master that makes it work, that we develop as devotees. Like that, that faith. It's not about pursuing an academic career. That doesn't make one a better devotee. It may be a popular concept, but it has zero to do with reality. It doesn't mean that devotees aren't studying the Acharya's books, but that's because they have faith. Right? If they're just studying just to learn knowledge, then it won't necessarily have as strong as effect. Even with no academic career, if one has full faith in the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he develops in spiritual life and real knowledge of the Vedas. The example of Maharaj Katvanga confirms this. One who surrenders is understood to have learned the subject matter of the Vedas very nicely. Because that's the whole point, is that if you've heard something, you understood the direct meaning, the Abhida, what it means there, the direct meaning, then you're going to apply that. If it says that we are the soul, not the body, our natural position is the servant of the Lord, he's the Supreme Master, he's the Lord of all energies, right? He's the controller of everything. Then, and that natural relationship is there in service and develop prema. Then you try to apply that in your life. Then it's how do we do that? Then it's through these nine processes, as Prahlad Maharaj gave. Does that make sense? So then that works. That's then real knowledge. Right, so that's the point of Maharaj Katvanga confirms this, because he may have been a great king. He's an emperor on the earth. He's such a good fighter and all that, that he's invited to the heavenly planets to help them in their fights. So that means he's good. He's not an ordinary guy. Right? But it's his ability to surrender to the Lord in a moment that makes it there. He asks the right question and he can apply that question. So that's the point that makes it. That's the actual learning. Yes?
Also, Prahlad Maharaj, in this verse where he describes the nine processes of bhakti, the next verse he says that whoever applies these nine processes, he has perfect knowledge.
Ah, yes.
So himself.
Yes, perfect knowledge. Yeah. Because the other stuff is just practical stuff you use. You know, it's just like, let's say a day in your house, in your life. Okay? They say a day in a life. Yeah, like that. I think there was a soap opera called "A Day in Our Lives." Yeah, like that. So, you know, I mean, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you know, things out. You figure out, you know, how the shower works, you know, and you learn with time that don't flush the toilet and keep the shower running, because then somehow or another the cold water and you get roasted, like that. You know, just little things like that. How the washing machine works, you know, like this. You know, how to you know, cook. It's all the things you learn in a day, it's all by association. You don't have to go to school for that. That's actually your life. Right? To learn to drive a car, then you go out with somebody like that, and you practically learn. You sit in a driveway somewhere, drive back and forth for a while. You know? And when you stop hitting things, then you go out on the street. You know, so just like this. And then you learn, you know, how to drive. You know, that's most of what you do. Then you have your actual work. You know what I'm saying? And so that may have some very specific point to it. But the thing is the real value in your life is that. Now, how do you connect that to the Lord? How do you be Krishna conscious while you perform your life? How you perform your duties? That's the real education. You know, because as Prabhupada pointed out, is the animals are maintaining themselves. Like that. You know, so then, you know, We're thinking ourselves superior, but the animals go on. You know, it's like you're mentioning. You know, the people are there so advanced, they get into it, the nuclear, this and that, and then they have a meltdown. So then all the people have to leave. So then what? All the animals move in, and they're doing quite fine there. You know? So, you know. So all the people with a fancy education, they can't, that place, their arrangements are such, they can't even live in their place. But the animals can live there with no education. Yeah. I mean, they have the, you know, I mean, their work means, you know, whatever it is, eating whatever they eat or like that. So that's the thing, is that, this whole, it's overrated, this eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But that's the whole point, is the ego is there to be seen in context of Krishna. When it's not, then people become very proud. That's all. And it's a problem. Anyone who is not following the surrendering process but is simply interested in an academic career cannot make any advancement. His profit is only his labor for nothing. If one is expert in the study of the Vedas but does not surrender to a spiritual master or Vishnu, all this cultivation of knowledge is but a waste of time and labor. So we can see here is that you're asking before, like that. That means higher education is studying the Vedas in the context of how to surrender to Guru and Krishna. Right? How to be engaged in devotion. That's higher knowledge. Because otherwise, just to learn the Vedic literatures but not see that, then you only deem aparavidya. Right? And apara is what you consider is connected to the Lord. So they're dealing in avidya. So they're just very, very knowledgeable in avidya. So that's why also from this morning's talk is that those who are more scholarly tend to be also more atheistic. Because they're learned in avidya. Like that. And amazingly, just the theory of it. Right? Yeah. So it's all the way through is that it means you learn those things that you need to learn, but it should be that we're being trained in the philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness. 117, 258 to 260. But the proud student community did not become submissive. On the contrary, the students spoke of the incident anywhere and everywhere. In a laughing manner, they criticized the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being omniscient, could understand the degradation of these students. Thus he sat at home, contemplating how to rescue them. Quote, all these so-called professors and scientists and their students generally follow the regulative principles of religion, fruit of activities and austerities, the Lord thought. Yet at the same time they are blasphemers and rogues. Right? Because they're only following the religion, fruit of activities and austerities for the material benefits they'll get. You know, like that. It's just like, let's say, you know, this is. I always find this an amusing one. It's in the deity worship book, right? It's describing the whole, you know, the process there. And it's also then an abhigamana means, you know, the approach to the temple. So that means, you know, from getting up, you know, brushing the teeth, taking a bath, all these things, getting dressed, then going to the temple. So that's all part of the first part. So in doing that, then went through and, Krishna Kshetra had pulled out some quotes from here and there and everything. And he had this whole list of all the benefits from the morning cold bath. A cold bath in the morning. You know, big long list. And, you know, of that, then there's so many things, you know, intelligence, this, that, you know, like that, good health. It's good for the skin. It's good for the eyes. It's good for so many things. And then, one of them that was there is that if you take a cold morning bath, it makes you attractive to the opposite sex. It's one of the things, because then with a cold bath, then the skin and the ojas in the body become very good, and it's the ojas that makes you attractive, and then the skin's proper and the ojas, and it's like attractive. So I told him, but we're devotees, we don't need this one. You know, if you put that, nobody's going to care about that. And that time, that was in the early 80s, it wouldn't have been. But if I had known, it would have been good. Could you imagine how many people would be taking a cold shower now if they knew that? You know, all the ones in the temple, you know, dressing up nicely, standing around and all, that they'd be taking cold showers in the morning. It's the morning one specifically is talking about.
For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about, is that they're doing their religion fruit of activities and austerities for the mundane position. Like that. So that's why the Vedas have these things there, because at least they're following it. And then if you become a devotee, they're already habituated taking their cold bath, they just continue.
It's like in the modern day, they offer to pay you for something there, they offer those benedictions.
It's the same. That's the meaning of the karmakanda, is that you're getting yeah, you're getting remuneration for what you do, you know. You're a good boy, then you get, you know, this, like that. You know. So, yeah. So that's his whole point is, but they're not getting the benefit. Yet at the same time, they're blasphemers and rogues because it's materialistic, the reason they're following. So they don't, it's not for God consciousness, and that's what the Veda is for. The Veda is to that. So we see here is that it developed, the Navadvip develops up, they become very scholarly, very well situated, they're respected all over India. You know, the last place that Digvijay comes to is there, you know, because, you know, he's already won everywhere else, then when he comes to Navadvip, then it'll be good. So like that, but in doing that, they just became rogues, blasphemers and rogues. So it's not enough. So that's what we were saying, you know, the other day. It's this whole concept that just by management will make everything perfect. Just by, you know, having these academic excellences that will make everything perfect. This kind of false perspective has to be corrected because it didn't work then. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and left to get away from these guys and to benefit them. Right? Because they won't respect him as another Brahmin who's a householder since they're householder, but if he's a sannyasi, they'll respect. Right? Just because they have to follow their religion. Right? Because it said if you don't offer obeisances to a sannyasi when you see him, then you have to fast. You know, Brahmins don't like to fast. They offer obeisances. Right? Yes.
It's interesting that because he wanted to save these, you know, highly educated people, he actually left his established position in the teaching industry
to do that.
In order to do that.
Yes.
But nowadays, we think that if we want the respect of the people and to save them, that we have to enter into one of
the academics. Yeah, it's kind of like, as if the common man cares.
And usually we also leave behind the important part.
Yes, and then also, like them, you give up the, like that. So, but at the same time, religion, fruit of activities and austerities are also not done. It's just, it's sad.
Yes.
Very sad. Srila Prabhupada. Here is a depiction of materialists who have no knowledge of devotional service. They may be very religious and may work very systematically or perform austerities and penances. But if they blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are nothing but rogues. This is confirmed in the Hari Bhakti Sutra Doya 3.11. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japas Tapa Apra Nasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Loka Ranjanam. And the amazing thing is we can hear them all the way here. And they're standing right next to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and without talking that loud, you can't, you know. yes, it's a very, you know, it's like, you know, they'll sit right next to each other and shout, you know, it's like, yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, simultaneously, that's even more. It's like, you know, one shouting's not enough.
That's why they shout.
You don't get the...
try to overshout the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to increase. See,
yeah.
So one way to establish your point is to just talk louder.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's there. That's there.
But I think they just have one volume. So, like, if they're yelling yeah. across a field, or if they're.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to them.
Same volume.
It doesn't matter. It's the same volume. There's only one setting. You know, it's like the.
Not sophisticated.
The, what do you call it? When they're they have the music for the pujas and weddings and stuff, there's only one setting. You know, how you say it's 11.
Yeah.
It's Indian.
Ear-shattering.
Indian amplification.
Yes, there's only one. I mean, they don't even need to put the thing on there. They just have it, you know, just plugged in. It's a full amp, you know. Probably the amp would be cheaper, right?
And
just,
yeah. And then no moving parts, so you don't have to worry about a break.
Yeah, so it's a great part. Very good, you know.
And the Bengalis, even if they're educated or illiterate, it's the same volume.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's just the same thing. That's what he's saying, Prabhupada's saying it. May be very religious, may work very systematically, or perform austerities and penance. Right? They're without knowledge of devotional service to the Lord, then great nationalism, fruitive, political or social work, science or philosophy are simply like costly garments decorating a dead body. The only offense of persons adhering to these principles is that they are not devotees. They are always blasphemous towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead as devotees. Right? So it's not that there are other things that they're not doing nice things, but because they're always speaking badly about the Lord and the devotees, then what's the point? It's just like we said, nice garments decorating a dead body. So, 117, 261, 265. Lord Chaitanya continued thinking, if I do not induce them to take to devotional service because of committing the offense of blasphemy, none of these people will be able to take to it. I have come to deliver all the fallen souls, but now just the opposite has happened. How can these rogues be delivered? Right, because there was an opportunity there for him to have heard what Lord Chaitanya said or something and then learn something about devotional service, but instead they just blaspheme. They just criticize him. That's just the nature. How can these rogues be delivered? How may they be benefited? These rogues offer me obeisances. The reactions of their sinful activities will be nullified. Then, if I induce them, they will take to devotional service. I must certainly deliver all these fallen souls who blaspheme me and do not offer me obeisances. I shall accept the sannyas order of life, for thus people will offer me their obeisances, thinking of me as a member of the renounced order. Srila Prabhupada. Among the members of the Varnashram institution's social orders, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, the Brahman is considered the foremost, for he is the teacher and spiritual master of all the other Varnas. Similarly, among the spiritual orders, right? Because notice that here, so you have the, what do you call it? Yeah, the social orders, the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So as you were saying, the emphasis is on the social orders rather than on the spiritual orders. But before, you establish the spiritual orders, and then you start to integrate the social orders in that context. But what's happened is this shift is there to the social orders without maintaining that Krishna consciousness is there in the spiritual orders. So it's just, that means that's what goes on before. Communities and that are educated and all that, and that they move in this direction, you know, without that proper spiritual guidance, that's the natural direction, you know. So it's not that they're thinking that, oh, they're developing and it's special and it's unique, but no, it's just standard what happens. You know, it's just like the caste Brahmins. It's because they're born in a Brahmin family. It's not about what they're doing in their ashram. It's not about the spiritual aspects. Similarly, among the spiritual orders, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, the Sannyas order is the most elevated. Therefore, a sannyasi is the spiritual master of all the varnas and ashramas. It's always interesting how it, Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, you go from top down, and then in the spiritual, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, you do it. Yeah. Okay. Therefore, a sannyasi is the spiritual master of all the varnas and ashramas, and a Brahmin is also expected to offer obeisances to a sannyasi. Unfortunately, however, caste Brahmins do not offer obeisances to a Vaishnava sannyasi. They are so proud that they do not offer obeisances even to Indian sannyasis, what to speak of European and American sannyasis, because they think we're already Goswamis, we're already on the top. Yes.
Could it be because the most important one is listed first in both? Because if you're not a good brahmachari, you can't be a good grihastha, vanaprastha.
Yeah, you could say the basis is like that. That could make sense. And then in the social, the Brahmin is there and that knowledge goes down. Because the other one is fixed. So naturally, I guess it's fixed. It's not that you move through them.
Right.
But the other, you move through them, so then you move in the stage until you get to the ultimate. Yeah. Okay. They're so proud they do not offer obeisances even to Indian sannyasis, what to speak of European and American sannyasis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, expected that even the caste Brahmins would offer respectful obeisances to a sannyasi. Because 500 years ago, the social custom was to offer obeisances immediately to any sannyasi, known or unknown. The sannyasis of the Krishna consciousness movement are bona fide. All the students of the Krishna consciousness movement have undergone the regular process of initiation, as enjoined in the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami. Tata diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate nirinam. By the regular process of initiation, any man can become a brahmana. Thus, in the beginning, the students of our Krishna conscious movement agreed to live with devotees, and gradually, having given up four prohibited activities, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and intoxication, they become advanced in the activities of spiritual life. When one is found to be regularly following these principles, he is given the first initiation, Hari Nam, and he regularly chants at least 16 rounds a day. Then, after 6 months or a year, he is initiated for the second time and given the sacred thread with the regular sacrifice and rituals. After some time, when he advances still further and is willing to give up this material world, he is given the sannyas order. At that time, he receives the title Swami or Goswami, both of which mean master of the senses. Unfortunately, debauched so-called Brahmins in India neither offer them respect nor accept them as bona fide sannyasis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expected the so-called Brahmins to offer respects to such Vaishnava sannyasis. Nevertheless, it does not matter whether they offer respect or whether they accept these sannyasis as bona fide, for the Shastra describes punishment for such disobedient so-called Brahmins. The Shastra injunction declares, Devata prati mam drishtva yatim chaiva tridandinam namaskaram nakuryadya prayaschitti yate naraha. One who does not offer respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to his deity in the temple, or to a Tridandi sannyasi must undergo prayaschitta, atonement. If one does not offer obeisances to such a sannyasi, the prescribed prayaschitta is to fast for a day. So, I say, on that positive note, then. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.